They're coming through the mountains. Trucks, cars, buses, trundling up the road to Swat, carrying men, women and children, eager to return to their beautiful valley, yet worried too about what they'll find there. These days, Mingora, Swat's main city, is snarled with traffic. Most of the buildings are intact, but you see the marks of war everywhere. Rubble from bombed buildings spills onto the roads. Police and soldiers use wrecked cars as makeshift checkpoints. You can sense the war, too, in the tense, anxious eyes of those who live here.
Big problem.
Traders in this narrow alley have returned to find all their shops wrecked. There was a great deal of looting during the conflict. A knot of workmen lugs in boxes of new goods, gingerly picking a path across the debris. Murab Khan, a painter, isn't sure if he'll be able to reopen his ruined shop.
I don't know whether I will be able to start my business here, whether the work will be revived, because there is so much uncertainty and every man is gripped by fear.
In May, the Pakistani army launched an offensive to drive out the Taliban. The militants had taken over Mingora. The authorities struck a peace deal with them, but it didn't last long. As war took hold, more than 1 million people left the valley, including Emil Hayat Khan and his family. Emil's 18. It takes him a while to find the word that sums up the last few months.
Traumatic.
Emil was born in England and spent most of his childhood in the city of Manchester. Today, in his family home, Emil's clearing up a room hit by a shell. He's covered in dust.
I'm not used to this. I like England more.
Do you sometimes think that you're kind of like you're in a dream?
Yeah, that's what I do think. It's like I want to go back to Manchester. It's more safe.
Emil and his younger brother and sisters took refuge from the war in the city of Peshawar, a couple of hours' drive away. There was fighting near their home before they left.
We had to hide in that room over there, all of us, my uncle and my sisters.
You've got a special security room there that you
hide?
No,
it's not secure, but it's better than all of the other rooms in the house.
Emil recently returned to Mingora, to a life of curfews, power cuts and shortages, a life that bears no resemblance to that of his friends in Manchester. He and his siblings now live with their mother and uncles. Emil says the family's short of money, so his father, an engineer, has gone back to England to work. Emil's worried about what might happen next. He's also just bored.
When there's nothing to do, so I just collect shrapnels or the mortar bombs. And I've got a big load of them, kind of souvenir.
My name is Qazi Hidayatullah.
Qazi Hidayatullah is a middle-aged lawyer. He practices in the High Court in Peshawar. He's used to working in English. That's a little tricky right now, as he seems to have forgotten most of it.
I can speak.
I can speak fluent English, but now I'm experiencing this memory loss. I have lost words. I cannot speak. So this is the impact of the trauma that I have been through.
Hidayatullah stayed in Mingora throughout the conflict. He says the Pakistani military indicated his home was not in the area that was going to be affected by its military offensive. Hidayatullah thought he'd be okay. Later, as the bullets started smacking into his walls, he and his family found themselves trapped. Part of the trauma he's now suffering can be blamed on the Taliban. All those stories we heard about Taliban atrocities are true, he says.
Yes, really, it happened.
The Taliban would carry out beheadings and they would slaughter people and they would hang the dead bodies from the trees and lampposts, and they would also leave a note asking the local people not to take this body till certain time.
The Pakistani army says it killed many hundreds of Taliban fighters during the operation to win back Mingora. But the Taliban's leaders escaped. They're now holed up in the nearby mountains. That's something Hidayatullah says he just doesn't understand.
Why don't they do? And why don't they capture, why don't they kill the personal leadership of Taliban?
There's one leader in particular, Mullah Fazlullah, a.k.a. the FM Mullah, because of his rabble-rousing radio broadcasts. Many in Mingora believe while Fazlullah's alive, there's a chance the Taliban will one day return. Major Nasir Khan, a spokesman for the Pakistani military, says the army very nearly captured him.
We came very close to apprehend him, but he escaped. He abandoned his true land cruiser and he escaped taking advantage of the darkness. The problem is that the terrain is very tough. And basically, they are the guerrilla fighters. They always operate in small bands of 2, 4, 6, and 8 persons.
The Taliban and their sympathizers are still being killed in Mingora. Dozens of their corpses have been dumped on the streets over the last month. Residents suspect they're assassinated by the security forces. Major Khan denies it. The Pakistani army is keen to show the international community it's making headway against the Taliban. Khan introduces journalists to some boys who he claims escaped from Taliban camps. He says they and several hundred other boys were being trained, some as informers, some even as suicide bombers. Khan believes the army's success in Mingora shows the Taliban's incapable of taking control of any city in Pakistan. Yet he also says it won't be easy to rid Pakistan of Islamist militancy.
This will be a long-drawn warfare, and we are prepared to offer all sorts of sacrifices to contain and eliminate them.
Khan's words aren't much consolation to Amal, the 18-year-old from England. Amal knows the Taliban leaders are still somewhere out there, up in the hills.
We're all not happy, we're scared, you know. What if something happens? So that's why, like, I'm not happy. I want to go back to England.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.